I'm Morgan Felden of EQ2Wire and EQ2U, and today is launch day for the Altar of Malice expansion for EverQuest 2. It's 11th expansion and just celebrated its 10th anniversary this weekend, November the 8th. And I'm joined by EQ2 lead designer Kyle Vallee, known as Candor on the forums. Welcome.
Hi, thanks. I feel welcome.
You feel welcomed, huh?
Yes. You always make me feel welcome.
For people who don't know, I got a chance to come out to San Diego the week before SOE Live and visit SOE and hang out with Kyle, and it was an awesome trip.
Yeah, it was a great trip. My best SOE Live ever.
Well, until you came down with whatever it was.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, there was a little bit of stuff going along. Yeah. Vegas is like that.
Yeah, that's like everybody gets the convention bug.
Mm-hmm. The assortment, the cocktail. Who knows what you'll end up with.
Well, I wasn't going to talk about... I do ask some tough questions sometimes on my site. I wasn't going to talk about finance or pricing or the cost of the expansion or anything like that, because that happens at an executive level. That's the marketing people up there.
Right. I don't have anything to do with the money stuff.
you just push all year to get an expansion done.
Yep.
And people don't realize how far in advance you're working on things. I mean, we were talking last year and you said, oh yeah, I'm already starting to work on stuff for this expansion that just is coming out today.
Right, and I've been working on stuff for the next expansion now for a couple months. So,
what's it called?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I couldn't answer that if I wanted to. So, we don't name expansions like, you know, they get a working name, you know.
Right.
I can't remember what the working name for this expansion was, but it was really close to what we came out with. So.
Okay.
It wasn't Altar of Malice, but it was something close to that.
Altar of Lannis is a pain.
Yeah, it was a... We usually have a working title, though.
Yeah. Well, I know this year we've got two big expansion zones, outdoor zones. I guess you knew you'd be able to go as big as you wanted this time?
Yeah, with the overland zones, they're not as big as we want, but they're pretty good size. Each zone is bigger than a Kunark zone, so.
Wow, that's huge, and you know, we've been talking the last few years. Every year, it seems like the art and animation and sound goes up a level, then I mentioned when we were talking before, and I mentioned to you some quest stuff, and you're like, yeah, you know, we don't just do the quests; we actually are part of the whole design.
Right.
And you mentioned to me. That you know, you're submitting design documents right from the beginning. You know, the artists don't just go off and come up with everything. They're implementing what you guys have storyboarded and planned.
Yeah, I mean, it's in various degrees, right? But like we the planning for the overland zones was meticulous. Like, you know, we actually had at one point 5 islands, I think, per zone, and we had all the themes and what they were going to look like and we basically come up with everything. You know, we don't just go, okay, art, build us something. I mean, we have some artists that won't even place baskets without a map. So, you know,
I mean, they do incredible work, and you know, it just every year it just looks better. But I think people should know that the artists, they are putting a finishing coat of paint, but it has to start with the framework. It has to start with storyboarding and your write-ups. I mean, you were telling me that each zone, the designers have write-ups of,
yes.
You know,
we
the
basically
mood.
We do zone design documents, level design documents. We draw maps. We, you know, write the stories. We decide what the themes are and how they're going to fit into the expansion, stuff like that. You know, we want it to be interesting, but at the same time, you know, art likes to have a lot of information. We can give them the basic zone overline at first and they can get started. But I mean, we help them plan, I mean, literally down to where's the Alathoa village, where's the Pygmy village, you know, what kind of stuff are we going to put in these villages? It's all planned by designers, quest designers, you know, content designers. We have our finger in everything.
You also mentioned to me about the music and, of course, the wonderful work by Inan Zur that, you know, you've used your music background. I don't know how many people know your music background.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of interesting because we've had music for quite a while. I think Inan started doing music with us in Kunark. Did some of the new battle music and stuff like that. And about 4 expansions ago, he really opened himself up to communication and stuff. I think maybe he was always open to it, and we just didn't have someone here that was really willing to go through the paces with him. So as soon as I got the opportunity, I jumped at it. You know, with Inan, first thing we do is, especially the last 3 expansions, is I write a music doc, a document. So I go through and I say, here's the expansion that we're planning. Actually, it's cool because Tears of Ishin and Altar of Malice, I wrote the documents kind of like you would write a soundtrack. So each one, like each expansion, has had between 25 and 28 tracks. And we have an opening piece and a closing piece, and all the stuff in between kind of has to fit into the theme. So the first thing we do is we come up with the main theme, which is what you get at login. So for Tears of Ishin, you know, you'd log in and you would hear that the music, and we have that again with Altar.
Oh yeah, so it starts out with the EQ2 theme, and then it jumps into transitions into here's what's changed. Here's what you can expect.
And that's the new Altar of Malice theme. And then everything is meant to kind of go in with it. So each piece has an underlying melody that comes from the main theme. And so we went through in succession. We did the first Overland Zone, and I wrote a music doc for all the different dungeons and stuff. And I try to go through hundreds of tracks and try to come up with examples of what I'm talking about. So, I mean, not one piece has he ever done has sounded like the example I give him. I try to give him, this is the pace, this is the excitement I want, this is the time signature, stuff like that. And he'll go through and he'll come up with something. And I would say half the time he nails it the first try, and then half the time we have 6 to 10 iterations. So like the main theme, we probably went through 6 versions before we were happy with it. But like the theme for Tranquil Sea, which you'll experience when you fly over the water, we have it set up so when you go over the water, you get the main expansion zone theme music. So Tranquil Sea, when you fly over the water, you'll get the Tranquil Sea theme. And Phantom Seas, you'll get the Phantom Sea theme when you fly over the water there.
Wow, it's come a long way from just short themes.
We have like each theme has a main piece and then 2 POI pieces for each dungeon. So each dungeon has 3 pieces of music. Each island has 3 pieces of music, plus each zone has a main theme. So I think this expansion we had 28 pieces of music for this expansion.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
It's interesting because I have a friend who is a professional musician who does soundtracks, and it's quite different. I mean, you have to be willing to accept criticism, but at the same time, you put your own creativity into it. And I'm sure he's a real professional to take that and walk away with it and come back and do those revisions. But it pays off in the end.
Yeah, I mean, Inan is super professional, and the thing about him that I've experienced that I've never experienced with anyone else is, He wants to give you, the customer, what you want, right? Like he'll listen to what you have to say, and I mean, one of the classic examples that we always talk about was the Kazakh Thule theme zones from Chains of Eternity.
Yeah.
We were getting these pieces and they just weren't really like catching the theme I was shooting for. And he was trying different things. And finally I said, let's add a didgeridoo. And, and you know, he didn't say anything. He was like, okay, I'm on it. And he went in, he didn't ask me, how do you want the didgeridoo? He didn't say, what's the time signature or how do you want it on the, he just went in and did it and it was perfect. Like, exactly. It just suddenly you understood you were in Kazakh Thule, right? Like that's kind of how it works. So
that's great.
But you ask, you know, we've had several themes where we said, oh, it's just not evil enough, or it's not dark enough, or it's not happy enough, or it's not, and you know, he'll go and adjust it with virtually no feedback as far as, except I would like it a little darker. And then there's times where I'm like, drums, I want bigger drums, or I want bigger horns, or I want, you know, more strings, or the vocals are too high. He's so good at it and he's so masterful as far as ear goes. I don't have to give him, you know, a 2-page document about how to or what I'd like to see changed. So,
well, I know some people play with their sound off, but I really hope that they will
I encourage you to either, you know, play with your sound on, especially music, or pull the music out of the directory and listen to it. I mean, you can grab it, and I think you can grab it and just throw it in iTunes, right? Something.
It's just MP3s.
Yeah. So I really encourage you to check it out. It's a great soundtrack. I think last year's was great. I mean, the last 4 years, they just get better and better. And I honestly think this one is the best.
Very cool. So I wanted to shift gears to some expansion-specific questions as far as...
Okay.
I think this time itemization is not getting as big a change as last year. You're kind of following the foundation set down by Tears of Ishan.
Right. We made a huge change with Tears of Ishan as far as itemization and the direction that we were going. We didn't get everything that we wanted to get done this year for itemization. We were actually, or we are going to revamp the item window. So that when you look at an item, it makes more sense and things are in better order and easier to identify. But with all the code stuff that we had to do, but we are going to do that. I'm hoping we're going to get to that real soon. But as far as the actual itemization, no, we felt that the Tears of Ishan itemization was relatively successful. And so we stuck with that. We did, however, make a bunch of new effects for each playstyle. So we made over 100 effects for Tears of Ishan, new ones. And some of them weren't so successful. Some of them were too successful. And so we went through this year and we decided which ones we were going to keep. And we pruned out a bunch. And then I believe we made between 10 and 15 new effects for each play style and added those in. So, you know, solo players, group players, and raiders. Raiders actually got a bit more than 10 or 15. We also made new avatar items, and the avatar items this year are completely unique. So there's no overlap on those anywhere. You won't be able to get those items or those effects anywhere but from the new avatars. So,
well, now I'm envious.
Well, you know, last year, like, the avatar thing has been kind of up and down. Originally, when we did it, we made unique items that were, hey, yeah, you did this and it's awesome. And then we kind of last year, they kind of got lost in the shuffle and they weren't super exciting, but they were good. I mean, they were powerful, but they weren't awesome. And so this year, we kind of wanted to shoot for awesome because the avatars are the hardest thing in the game now. So, and that's another thing that goes up and down. Originally, avatars were pretty hard.
Yeah, they've gotten to be more accessible in the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, so the one we tried it. We, you know, with the system and everything, we tried to make them, you know, obviously they're not contested,
you put them in an instance and you spawn if, one.
They're not content, but I'm saying, like, as far as like in the past, they're not contested if only one guild can kill them. That goes away. But we had some pretty big success as far as feedback and stuff with allowing people to spawn, you know, their own semi-contested mob, which is going to be interesting for avatars because we built a whole zone for them.
I saw that, a whole new zone for that.
Yeah, it's called the Precipice of Power. And you go in and there's four islands that are out there, and you can figure out what those islands are for, but it is a contested zone, so other guilds can zone in. Obviously, if you spawn an avatar and can't kill it, somebody else might. So that's kind of where we're going with that stuff. And since they're going to be so difficult, then we decided they should have, you know, the best loot. We try something new every year, and we try to, you know, make things new and turn things around, and which, like, especially with that stuff, it can't always be the same, otherwise it just gets stale. So trying something different this year. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Something else you're trying new this year is the heroic zones that, now I forgot what they're called, but
the event heroic zones.
Event heroics. Yes. There are five of those.
Yes, they're a shorter heroic, but they're more involved. They're part of a story. They're not necessarily part of the main story. Sometimes they're just telling a story. But they're basically ring events. So they're, you know, when we build heroic zones, we try to get to where, you know, a heroic zone is 20 to 30 minutes. And this year, with our zones being so big, like all of our dungeons are huge. You know, we have to put in Zabathloa, we have dinosaur mounts in a heroic dungeon so you can get to the next area faster. But these are meant to be quick. So the idea is you can go in and hopefully do them in 15 minutes and get, you know, heroic loot. So we're trying something different. We're trying to make things a little more exciting. These are a triggered ring event. That's why we call them event heroic. And you go in, and as soon as you trigger it, then it's bam, bam, bam. They all have three bosses, I believe. And then they drop chests at the end when you complete the event. Three of them are relatively easy, and then I think two of them are pretty difficult. But and then we have, you know, we have tiers in our heroic this year, so three tiers of heroics, tier one, tier two, and tier three heroics. So, and loot, of course, to correspond.
And you're continuing the armor upgrade gems. I know I was personally a fan of those.
Yes, those are implemented, you know, right now. So yeah. You'll be able to change out and switch out, obviously, your quest gear, and then heroics. You'll be able to change out armor pieces that you're not going to use and trade them in for pieces that you can use. Yeah, that was a pretty popular system.
Do we have to have seven of them again?
I'm not sure what the numbers are. We talked about lowering it a bit because we have several tiers of heroic gear, but I'm not sure what we came up with.
So it's more than I have to admit, I haven't looked that much at the heroic gear. It went up pretty late in the beta. Mm-hmm. So it's more than two tiers, or it's two tiers?
I believe heroic has three
tiers of armor.
Yeah. Last year we put in, I think it was two tiers.
It was arcane,
and then we added stuff, and like we added potent three and then potent four.
Yeah, overclock.
So we do have some probably some other tiers that we might put in later, or we might not. It depends on, you know, how well things go. I believe the raid gear all has two or three tiers this round though, instead of just one. Because if you remember last year.
Yeah, last year was one red and one purple. Yeah.
Right, and I believe they're starting with two, and they will possibly get a third. So, oh, wow. Yeah. But the big thing this year is we didn't have to. Last year we gave everybody, you know, all the items and had you, you know, look at stuff and change stuff. But we're we're pretty confident with the stuff this year. So we spent more time doing other things and then, you know, got the itemization in, yeah, last minute. But one of the things that we try to avoid is people finding out where everything drops in beta. Then when the expansion goes live, they go, oh, well, I want this charm and this bracelet, so I'm just going to go farm these two zones. That was part of what we tried to avoid this time. So,
are you saying that you shuffled around loot tables?
yeah, we shuffled everything around. And we put together new naming conventions so that we could name stuff more on a broad scale, as far as this is named for the expansion as opposed to this is named specifically for the zone. And then once we had it in, then we changed a few names, you know, to, because it's always cool when, you know, when you fight an epic monster and you get an item that's like his eye or, you know, his claw or something like that. So we kind of renamed stuff the last couple days before design lock. But
I see. Yeah,
we were trying to keep stuff, you know, secret, like where it's going to drop. And we did a lot of stuff this year for itemization. We have more items than the last three expansions combined. So,
wow,
it's crazy. Every weapon can be changed to a different elemental type. So if you loot a dagger, you can change it to an ice dagger or a fire dagger or a poison dagger. If we make 700 weapons, then there's, you know, six elements. Think about that. So,
yeah.
We made a lot of weapons this expansion. Last expansion, we were real weapon light, and people, you know, had a lot of complaints about that, mostly because we were trying to, you know, preserve the weapons that we put a lot of effort in from Pirate Kings, and we wanted weapons to be a big deal. But this year, we've itemized, you know, every delay extensively. There's a lot of 2-second, 4-second, and 6-second weapons. A lot more shields, a lot more bucklers. Because basically anything that people complain that there wasn't enough of last year, we probably made too much of this year. So that's kind of how we do things.
Alrighty. I'm going to assume that crafters still have some good choices this year with rare materials and...
Crafters got a lot of stuff, and also Mastercrafted is on par with a lot of the heroic stuff, so a lot of the crafted stuff is a lot better. It's a lot better than it has been in the past, so yeah.
All right, let's run through some different bullet points in the expansion. Collections.
Yeah, we have 67 collections. This year, there's collections for just about everything. There's collections in the advanced solos. There's collections in the heroics. We have two contested dungeons that both have their own collections sets. And then there's meta collections from just about every theme. And there is a final collection reward that's real nice. It's probably nicer than any of the past collection rewards. So we went big on that one.
Cool. You mentioned contested zones. This year we have two zones, I believe.
We have an entry level, which is, you know, you can go in today when the servers come up, or if they haven't already. It's Broken Skull Bay, I believe it's called, and it's a contested. And then we have an end game contested, which is the Ossuary of Malevolence, which is the Bone Cathedral.
Right. You were telling me that was a little tougher. That was
yeah. Everything in there is pretty much orange, and you know this go, we've redone the way resists work. So you want to make real careful that you get the appropriate resists. Resists are going to make or break everybody, especially in heroic content. You definitely want resists. The good news is we put in some really super nice crafted resist jewelry, so you can go
going back to the old days resist jewelry.
Yeah, so you can go up and make some resist jewelry and to help you progress till you get the drops you want.
Okay, I gotta throw a tough question in.
All right,
you're putting in two new contested zones.
Yep.
And people are gonna log in and say, okay, I want to go grind Sky Shrine. How come I can't do that?
So in the past, what we've done is we've nerfed contested zones, especially the ones that have ridiculous multipliers for experience. This time we chose to leave them the way they were to a certain point. So basically, all the contested zones have a suggested level. Obviously, when stuff starts turning green, then you probably shouldn't be there anymore. What we did is we basically calculated a hit points to experience conversion, and looking at how easy stuff is to kill in Sky Shrine, how easy stuff is to kill in, you know, all these different zones, especially with how much player power has grown over the past two expansions. So you'll be seeing a diminishing return in those zones once you pass a certain level. So you can still go to Sky Shrine to 95 and it'll be exactly the same. If that's your place that you want to go level up to 95, you can go there. Once you hit 96, you'll see a significant reduction in experience.
Do you know if that will affect Highkeep Contested today or in the future? Or
all of the Contesteds got some XP reduction after level, yeah. That was why we made the effort to put two large contested zones in with the expansion. This is part of the theme where we want you in the new content because it's hopefully more fun, and this is where we want you to get your money. Every expansion, where we've made a commitment to raising the coin levels and raising the rewards for quests and raising the rewards for everything, so that when you're playing the new content, you're making your plat, you're getting, you know, the best rewards. We went nuts with status, so there's status on missions, there's status in heroics, there's status in raids. You know, we tried to put as much stuff into the expansion to make it so this is the place you want to be, right? I mean, that's why we put all the effort into this, is we're trying to make something cool and fun and new. And
well, I can see the point of doing that. It's along the same line. If you don't want people in Protector's Realm 4 years later, 5 years later, because that's the only place to get your plat.
Right, right. That was exactly why we made those changes. I mean, the coin thing has worked out really well. We've had, you know, I feel great success with that. So, you know, you want to make plat playing the new content.
That makes sense.
But yeah, as far as experience goes, we also put in quite a bit of, you know, we also, to backtrack, we also removed with the expansion today 40% of the experience that you are required to get from 90 to 100. So
leveling 90 to 100 or 90 to 95?
Nope, 90 to 100. We removed 40% of the experience that would have been there because of the curve.
When people log in, are they going to bump up a little bit?
No, they shouldn't. But I mean, the curve was pretty massive. If we had kept with the curve, especially since, you know, in the past we added two levels at a time, and those were a pretty good amount of XP. With 95 to 100, they would have been very, very large levels. So, I mean, we've kind of come to the realization that, yeah, it's cool to put in new levels and new content and new abilities and new everything, but leveling isn't necessarily exciting for a lot of people. So making it tedious and painful isn't really the way to go.
Well, some people are going to stop and smell the roses, and some people are going to say, well, you know, I got to log in for the expansion because in 3 hours I've got a raid and I've got to be at max level.
yeah. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that, but I mean, obviously.
I heard someone in Australia that said that, yeah, my raid leader's already expecting me to be max level tonight. Like, you might have a rough time.
Yeah. I'm not sure that's going to be doable, but good luck. I mean, obviously. But yeah, so pretty much all the contested zones were left at the same experience levels. Sky Shrine is still quite abundant till 95, and then you'll see a pretty significant experience reduction. And since we did remove a good amount of the XP, and then we kind of chalked the new expansion with lots of the quest lines are designed to get you pretty close to 99-ish. And then we have a ton of missions for advanced solo and heroics and stuff that you'll be able to pick up and use those for the remainder of your leveling. We did something different this year where we not only have advanced solo zones, but solo zones.
Yeah, there were a few people who were saying that the advanced solos were good, but they were kind of getting script heavy and a little difficult to do.
Yeah, advanced solos are generally kind of designed for two players. That's kind of how we envision them, is two players can go in there and kick butt. One player and a merc should be okay, but you might have some troubles in some of the more challenging stuff. So we implemented solo zones, which are basically, they're designed so you can go in there by yourself and solo. They've been reduced as far as scripts and stuff like that. And I think most everything in them is level 99. So when you go in them at 95, it's, you know, they're yellow or orange, but they're pretty easy. They're not stuff that should be kicking your butt. We do have a pretty amazing amount of semi-casual players who still want to be max level. So we decided to try to... The other reason that we did the solos was to make them more friendly for the signature line, so that way, while you're doing the signature line, you didn't have to go level up and get a ton of gear just to do the signature line.
So. Well, that dovetails into my next question is, how much of the signature line can you do solo or molo, as we call it?
You should be able to do all of it. Yeah, I don't think there's any, we've gone away from exclusively heroic updates on that stuff. So, yeah. And the end rewards for doing the expansion quests are pretty cool, so pretty significant. There'll be a pterodactyl mount, or a pterodon, I believe is what we call them. Yeah. And then we have a few surprises at the end for you, so there's some pretty cool stuff.
Let's talk about spells in the expansion. You introduced Grandmasters last month.
Right.
And now characters are going to be able to get just a few ancients for each class.
Correct. Well, we really wanted to do Grandmasters for quite a while. And we were just going to do Grandmasters and Ancients with Altar of Malice, but we kind of felt that was a bit much to take in at once. So we decided, well, we'll try to get the Grandmasters for the previous level stuff in as fast as we can, so that people can get a head start on that stuff and not feel super overwhelmed. So there'll be obviously new Grandmasters and Masters for, 96 through 100 spells. And then we have done Ancients, and there's actually Ancients for each tier. So there's actually ancient spells for you to get in every tier. There's literally, I think, 20 to 30 ancients, 30 to 40 ancients.
I was poking around in Census today, and I noticed that, for instance, on a ranger, it's not just the level 90 Archer's Fury. It's available level 20, level 30, level 40. So.
Yep. So there's cool stuff for you. You know, if you're leveling at lower levels, and you might be super surprised to get an ancient spell, which is, you know, pretty powerful compared to your other stuff. So, especially if you don't have a master. I mean, you have to have a grandmaster to scribe an ancient. But
for those who don't know, grandmasters you can get through trade skills with a very rare harvest, or through research, which can be done. You can be very patient, or you can use the marketplace. So.
But yeah, so, and the ancient spells are only drops, especially the top tier, the, 90 to 100 ancients. They are only dropped. You can't get them any other way.
Cool. So now just, let's generally talk about the heroic zones, the raid zones,
Okay.
Kind of what, different elements or different features of them that you like.
Okay.
You can start with Broken Skull. I know I've talked to Carlos a little bit, Ninja.
Yeah.
Some of his work on those zones. I know he did that, and he did ossuary, if I understand correctly.
Yeah, I was the original designer on ossuary. I did the concepts and the actual design of the zone, and the theme and all that stuff. So I did the design documents for ossuary, but Carlos and a couple other people took over for that stuff because obviously and unfortunately I do not have time to implement content anymore.
Yeah, that's how you started out.
Yeah, and I was planning on hopefully getting some time to do some of that stuff, and it just didn't happen. But so Broken Skull Bay is obviously, you know, it's Captain Krasnok's home base. It's a kind of a Tortuga-esque pirate city with a good cave system around it and stuff. It's got ships and pretty much everything that you would like love about pirates. Carlos spent a lot of time doing research and coming up with, you know, name appropriate stuff to make the zone, for lack of a better word, more piratey.
More. Yeah, and you know he's going to put some humor into it. He always does.
Right. Yeah. You know, he has a sense of humor, and not everything has to be super serious and scary. So
when I was at SOE, I got a sneak peek. Fireflight showed me,
Zabathloa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed by that. So I'm really looking forward to running through all these zones.
Yeah. And then Ossuary of Malevolence is the Bone Cathedral. It's a cathedral built by the Primordial Malice. It's held together by human mortar. The remains and bones of enemies are ground and used as mortar and walls. So you're going to see a lot of skulls and a lot of bones. And
I'll make sure to wear my boots.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff made out of bones in there. That's the home of the Primordial Malice. That's where you're going to find out a bit more what's going on with Lannis Tavil.
I heard a rumor about even some Velius trouble is going to be coming back.
Yeah, you might see somebody from Velius.
From a certain tower. Yeah.
And then obviously we have some really key characters in this expansion. It was funny because you mentioned storyboarding, and we actually storyboarded this entire expansion from beginning to end, just like you would do a movie. So we wanted the story to really matter, and there's some characters in there that we hope that you really, you know, like. So yeah, it should be interesting. Zabathloa is the home of the Aluthoa, which the Aluthoa are the lizard kin warriors. They are a subterranean race of lizards that have come up from the depths and have decided to infiltrate a few areas in Tranquil Sea and Phantom Sea. But they have a key god that I'm sure you'll recognize when you run into, that they worship. Let's see, we have Highhold, which is the center for the Far Seas Trading Company.
Yeah, and if you're big into lore, you've been wondering what's been going on with the Far Seas Trading Company, and now you get to find out.
Right. I'm sure, as a lot of people know, the first island that you come to in Altar of Malice is the Island of Refuge. You're returning to that place that you started. You know, there's a new storyline there, and some new stuff have happened. You wonder why the Far Seas Trading Company closed off their routes to Refuge and closed off their routes to some of those islands. Well, now you're going to find out, and you're going to find out, you know, what's going on with that. We also have the return of a pretty major enemy in Shereza Temple. And Shereza Temple is actually Sarah Temple from the Moon of Luklan that found itself shot at Norrath like a bullet and plowed itself into the ground like a dart. And yes, it is an upside down pyramid that's been driven into the surface of Grim Shales. You'll see the return of the Grimlings, the return of the Kevins. We have some new races. We have the Urzarak, which are the spider bears, and we have the Pygmies, which are awesome. I love the Pygmies. They're my absolute favorite thing we've done in a long time. They're really cool. Let's see, what other dungeon themes? Did I touch on them all? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think I touched on them all.
Yeah, there's five major themes.
We actually have six, but we're going to be releasing the sixth dungeon theme early in 2015 with a raid, a heroic, and an advanced solo, and possibly a solo, depending on how that goes. If the solo zones are used and people like them, we'll keep doing them. If people would rather be challenged and have the advanced solo content, then we might not. But, you know, we spent a lot of time trying to put, you know, extra stuff in this expansion. So it's funny because I believe technically the technical count is 30 zones for this expansion. So,
wow,
30 different zones, not different themes, but 30 different doors.
Right.
Well, so yeah,
populated all differently, which is
yes, yeah. There's some stuff that's different, and some stuff that's the same. But you know, obviously the advanced solos. What we tried to accomplish with those is there's some people who want to see, you know, the heroic content, but they don't have time to group, or maybe they don't want a group and they want to go in there, you know, with a friend. Or this is kind of, we had a lot of requests ever since Sentinel's Fate for duo and trio content. So we decided advanced solos would be our duo content, and they've been relatively successful. They are very, very heavily used.
It was very exciting for me when I think it was Knights of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of the first where you really, two of you got to go in and do a zone. And I was like, yeah, right. this to me is cool. You know, when Tuesday night, Wednesday night, you know, is group night, but then other nights or a weekend, you say, hey, I want to do some advanced solo. I like that idea. And you could tell stories in a certain way, too.
Yeah, and then it also gives us the opportunity to tell the same stories, you know, that come from the heroic zones to players who don't want to play heroic content.
Right.
I mean, we try to do something for everyone. We've really been focusing on heroic content. We really want to see people group and play with other players because this is an MMO. Obviously, we don't have to tell that to the raiders. And I think going forward, you're going to see more and more of a emphasis on heroic content. Heroic content is a very, very important thing to us. It's the building block for raids. We've managed to close the gap as far as itemization to where you can do heroic content and be geared well enough to go into raids. That's the whole idea, right? You know, is to open all that stuff up, make it more accessible to everyone. It's not just the elite of the elite who can raid anymore.
Yeah. But that's one thing I saw in beta is that you guys kind of shifted things a little bit so that more of the raids would be accessible.
Right.
Still keeping the tough stuff as well.
Yeah, we always try to make, so for every style, play style, we always try to make a good amount of stuff for everyone. Obviously, the top 20 guilds, it's hard for us to make a ton of content for them. Their stuff has a tendency to be very difficult and very complicated, so we have to really try to balance it. This go, you know, we have six raid zones, and probably 1.5 of them are for the top tier people, and the avatars. The avatars, those are for the top tier people. And then the majority of it, we tried to hit more into the lower level raiders and the mid level raiders, so that there's a good amount of stuff for them to do. You know, we really want people to do the heroic content, and I believe we have incentivized that pretty drastically this year. So you're going to see a pretty big emphasis on heroic content.
I'll be looking forward to it. So looking ahead to next year, we've already heard quite a few things. Public quests are coming back in a big way, I hope. And cross-server Dungeon Finder, which I'm really excited about. So what else can you, what other sneak peeks can you give us for next year?
Well, so big on our schedule is obviously the database changes so that we can do cross-server content. Also, big on our schedule is new public quest systems. Another thing that's big on our schedule is the deity revamp. And we're going to hopefully we're going to hopefully be seeing that stuff earlier rather than later. We really want to get that stuff out. We're really excited about it. But as far as like content next year, we're looking to hopefully do some more, go back to more larger, more content rich updates. We've found that though keeping the content ever coming is cool and awesome, we've found that, you know, when you put an update in that has something for everyone, it's healthier for the game. People log in and they see each other and they say, wow, everyone's playing, this is cool, as opposed to, well, this week, you know, I got some trade skill stuff. We are, of course, always going to be doing, you know, bug fixes and quality of life stuff. We have plans. Hopefully this Friday, I believe, we're going to be putting up our focused feedback threads for class stuff, itemization, and some other things. The focused feedback threads are basically quality of life stuff. We did this last year. We put up a focused feedback thread and said, hey, you know, what would you like to see that would make your life easier? And then we put in a bunch of those changes that people ask for. So we'll be doing that again.
I really like that kind of stuff. You know, what bugs you most, or bug stomps, yeah, or that kind of thing.
Yeah. So we're going to be doing that real soon, probably even this Friday. And then, you know, obviously you're going to see focus feedback changes, hopefully very early January. And then like next year we have quite a bit of stuff planned. Like I said, we're already planning the new expansion for next year. It's one of those things. We have to start it as soon as we're finishing one. Yeah. Or we just won't get it out the door.
I'd ask you when you sleep, but that might be a sad story.
And then we have, like I said, we have a dungeon theme that we have planned to release early next year. We have some pretty cool plans for the summer. We're trying to shoot to put in more robust stuff during the summers, because the summers is when people kind of run out of stuff to do. And we would like to give you a whole bunch of stuff to do during the summertime. So, but yeah, we have a surprise zone that I can't really talk about, but one of our artists put in some extra work and built something that's pretty crazy that hopefully we'll be doing something highly entertaining with. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I know I'm personally looking forward to public quests and new zones. Public quests, kind of, not exactly the same, but the recent Heroes Festival, people right. have really been enjoying the puppet show.
Yes.
Bringing back Trachodon and all these guys.
Yeah, and that's kind of the precursor. We want to try to also, when we say public quests, it's not something we want to put just in the new hot content, the new hotness. It's something we want to try to fold back into all tiers. So, I mean, we really would like to see new public quests in all the tiers of play, and especially stuff for the lower level players. There will be more agnostic dungeons. We have 5 more agnostic dungeons that I believe are going in next week or the week after.
How have those been doing?
They've been doing really well. It seems as though by their numbers that people are enjoying them. So
awesome. I was really rooting for those.
Yeah, and we'll keep doing the agnostic dungeons for those people. But we would like to find some areas to fold in some low-level content, and we're going to try to focus on that a bit more over the next coming, you know, years. So,
I mean, it is a 10-year-old game, but there are people still playing at the low levels, and there's just so much content.
And we'd like to make new stuff for those people to do as well. So, obviously, you know, there is a huge emphasis on making sure that there's always something to do at the top. But we would like to do some more lower level content.
All right. Well, can you think of anything else for our Altar of Malice expansion interview today?
Covered not really. Topics? There's so much to talk about. We could talk about it for hours.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be looking forward to playing tonight and into the future.
Yeah, I hope everyone really enjoys Altar of Malice. We put a lot of work into it. There's some blood, sweat, and tears in this one, so hope you enjoy it.